it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Bobby and I are now talking with Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier, former Saints quarterback, now the OC. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So it's, you know, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. We get it. I'm just curious, when you get down as the team has in the last four games, does it impact, I mean, you got your script, right? But I mean, does it impact your play calling, or is it just, it's so early? If you're going to get down two scores, you know, it doesn't impact it as much because it is early.
You know, I don't think it did in this case when you talk about this game. If you look at the game for us, possession-wise, we were moving the ball and scoring early. You know, first drive of the game, we don't field goal. We go field goal again. Then we go touchdown. Then we go field goal. So our first four drives are producing points. It's just we weren't finishing those drives with touchdowns. And that's where we got to be better. We got to coach better, and we've got to execute better. And didn't feel like we were having to chase the game. We didn't feel that way early and thought we were able to stay true to what we wanted to be.
Now, Doug, when you're talking about like chasing points or how you're executing in the red zone, and to me, I'm looking at, coming into the game, now what exactly, a two-part question, what exactly do you describe as the red zone? You say 20 on end, then you call it the go zone, green zone, whatever, 25 or 30 yard on end. But I know this is not acceptable as far as getting touchdowns. We were like 29th, which was right at 41%. I'm not saying you got to be like 100%, but that needs to be at least, I think, 65% as far as touchdown production. Now, two-part question. You and Coach Moore, what is the red zone for y'all? What do you consider that? Because I'm looking at, it's pretty good. Almost when you look at the Saints compared to the previous game when we were 0-for, we were 1-for-2 in the red zone, but then you also failed to score a touchdown on two other trips against the Pats, 27 and 20-yard line, so not necessarily inside the 20. But, we're able to get the touchdown with Taysom Hill. But what the question I have for you, what is your take or perception? What do you consider the red zone as far as when you're not having to settle for field goals? Is it like the 25 on in, a 30-yard line on in, or how y'all look at that?
We break the red zone down from the 20 to the goal line, and that's standard. That's the NFL statistic. We use that because that gives you comparables, when you're looking as far as your averages against the league and those kind of things. And then outside of the 20, we have, an area called the gold zone that goes out to the 35, which is that 20 to 35 range. So, and the main reason for that is, as you all know, Bobby, play calling changes, and a little bit of that gold zone, that 35 to the 20, has even pushed further back just due to the leg strength of these kickers today and their ability to score points from 50 plus yards, those are the reasons. We're looking to break down tendencies in the coordinator and then what type of plays we want to run in those different areas of the field.
Now, Doug, when I look at, a quarterback's best friend is the running game, and, you have to have receivers that you could trust. I know you play with receivers that you could count on throughout your career. I look at Mark Super Duper setting records with Dan Marino. I believe in Anthony Carter, AC, Eric Martin, Andre Rison, Bad Moon Rison. So I'm looking at that quarterback-receiver combination, and I look at Rattler. I think at times Rattler's doing his part, but the receivers aren't coming up with the big catch. If you're going to be an alpha, you got to come up with the big catch. I'm looking, the Patriots receivers were able to be key and come up with the big catches. I think Chris Olave is getting the targets, But he needs to come up more with the big catches. Rashid Shaheed, explosive receiver. You look at all those different combinations. So I should say the question I have for you, you know what fans have asked me? And he's been outstanding in our training camp and in the preseason. Why don't we give Mason Tipton more an opportunity? I know he knows his plays. He went to Yale. I mean, come on. And then I look at Vele from the Broncos, a big receiver. He made his catch. Now, unfortunately, we had the penalty. But they at the point right now that, okay, we need to give maybe Tipton, if he's activated because he ran kickoff returns, Tipton and Vele more opportunities in the passing game.
Well, I think that's fair. You know, I think when you look at it, it's unfair to point, you know, in one direction or one position group specifically. It's a combination of a lot of things, you know, and like you talked about, you got to be able to run the football down there. And when you look at our struggles, a lot of our struggles have been because we've had self-induced, you know, either penalties or lost yardage runs, whether it be we didn't do the best job of coaching things and we got a different look or things of that nature. So you're right. We're obviously looking at different ways to get different guys in position to make plays down there. And obviously, you know, another guy that can show up down there because of his size and his length and his athleticism is Juwan. So obviously every week we go in with work and we find matchups. Where do we think our best opportunities are to get guys in one-on-ones where they can create plays?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something that you want to do or can do as a coordinator when in a play, call, you know, just overall yak yardage is down for this team? I mean, you can look at Chris Olave, but it's not just him. It's everywhere. Is that something you can go, okay, look, we're not creating the routes we need to provide them possibilities for yak yardage?
Sure. You know, and that's that falls on us as coaches. Like I said, it's, you know, our challenges to date have been group challenges. We've all taken our turn a little bit. And as coaches, obviously, we're looking at how do we get our guys in space? How do we create, like I said, matchups? How do we create opportunities to get guys open in space so that we can get the ball in their hands and let them go run with it? And we haven't been doing a good enough job of that, and we'll continue to work till we get it right.
Now, Doug, I can keep asking you Saints questions, but everyone's intrigued, you know, LSU fans are Saints fans and vice versa. How do you handle being the parent of the LSU starting quarterback? I mean, do you let your wife handle all that and you got enough responsibilities? I know as a parent you want to be encouraging, but and then obviously as a player you get beat up and you deal with injuries and all that. So how you've handled Garrett right now? Do you say something like, you know, because whenever I would kind of go to my mom, she'd go, if you're going to play football, you'll get beat up. I don't know, go talk to your dad. Don't tell me you hurt, but you can't go to your dad. I mean, so do you let your wife handle that and give Garrett tough love or what?
No, obviously, you know, I'm a father first, you know, and as we say, you know, it's faith, family, football in that order. And so I'm going to be a dad first and very proud of Garrett, very proud of their team and where they are right now. They got a great opportunity to do some great things. And, you know, obviously my wife, Christy, she's awesome. She's there all the time for him. And he and I talk all the time. So, you know, there's things we talk about, me just being a dad, him being a son. And then we do talk football a lot. And, you know, we have good interaction and it's football. It's coach. Talk to a guy that's a player and, you know, and he asks questions. We talk about things. So I'm very proud. We're very proud of him and very proud of the opportunity and really blessed that he's had the opportunity to be at LSU and be the quarterback at LSU.
So is it different? You know, obviously you're much, you know, you're in Philly last year, the ability to see him play, although they took that shot of you at the Clemson game and I'm going, ooh. And you were, it was the most intense look I've seen. In my head, I'm going, well, okay, so you're the OC, you're looking at the play, and then you're the quarterback, so you're living it through him as an offensive coordinator and as yourself as the quarterback. That's tough as a dad.
You know, it's really interesting when I go to games to watch both Garrett and my younger son, Colton, because you're so used to when you're in a stadium, you know, you're always on the sideline, and I know the play calls, and I know what's happening and what's coming and how it's supposed to go down. And now you're in an environment where you don't know the play calls. You don't know what's happening. You don't know, you know, how things are about to play out. So it's a very interesting dynamic. It's one I enjoy, though. I love getting an opportunity to see the boys play. And like I said, we're just blessed that he has the opportunity to play there.
Now, Doug, how do you that quarterback room? I've been in those rooms with a number of different quarterbacks, and how you know, you got a all for one, one for all, and all that. How has Tyler Shough been as far as being supportive, maybe of Spencer Rattler? Because you know he wants to be the man. You don't play quarterback if you don't have an ego. Now, I always say when you have an opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity. But I think Spencer Rattler's been playing his ass off. I mean, we need more supporting cast, but obviously the investment we have in Tyler Shough. So how do y'all come together? Because there's a lot of alphas, quarterbacks, part of the offensive staff. How do y'all handle that and keep that in perspective, you know, going forward?
Well, I think that, you know, first Scotty Tolzien, our quarterback coach, has done a great job with the whole group. And you know, Taysom's in that room too, and Jake Hayner's in that room. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in there that have played a lot of snaps. That, you know, they've all been at whatever level. They've all had great success. And obviously, we want to create competition. And they compete their butts off every day, both in the room and when we go out in the practice field. And they all understand too that whoever is the starter and whoever is going to be playing, we're all going to support them. And I commend Tyler, Jake, you know, all those guys. The whole room has done a great job of supporting Spencer, and we won't have it any other way. But Tyler's invested in him, in himself, and his process in getting better each day. He's also, you know, on a day-to-day basis helping Spencer be better. So it's been a great room.
Well, Coach Noss, we appreciate your time as always. It doesn't get easy. You got Chicago tonight, which you'll watch on Monday night, man, and they have been turnover machines. You know, they've got eight turnovers in their last two games defensively. So big challenge ahead at Chicago, but you take them one at a time, and best of luck moving forward.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great night. Thanks for having me.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.